Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you have your Bibles today and want to follow along, turn with me to Psalm 130. The book of Psalm 130, and I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's not very long. Psalm 130, we read, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." When you read the Psalms, when you read the Scripture, it all speaks of Jesus Christ. There are some passages that tell man what he is by nature and what he does. There are also those passages when we read them, we can see ourselves in them. But more importantly, we can see Jesus Christ as the one taking the sinner's place. This passage is one of them. When we read here, it first says, "I have cried out of the depths." We, as we are born in nature, are in the depths. That is the depths of sin. We are in a deep pit, which we have made in our head, Adam. But we also dig that pit deeper with our sins that we commit, being sinners. So if we are to cry unto God, it will be from the depths. We cry out to God to hear our supplications. These are cries for needs that we have, and we cry out unto God because he is the only one that can supply that need. That is, if you are a believer, it will be this way. Those who are unregenerate will not feel any needs like this. Unbelievers cry out for wants and not needs because they know nothing of needing anything. They just know they want something and they believe their God is the one that will give them what they want. That is a God of their own imagination. But if God has done something for you, it will be for you just as it is with the psalmist here. You will know that if God will mark your iniquity, then you will not stand. You may know that no man will stand, but there is that time when it becomes personal for you. And you will know that if God looks to your works and what you have done, your iniquities will be marked, and you will not stand, but fall forever. We have plenty of scripture that bears this out. Just one of them, Isaiah 1, verses 4 through 6, we read, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." I know this says nation, but a nation is made up of people. The people spoken of here is Israel. But this is what we all are by nature. Because Scripture also says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now I fully realize not everyone believes this. Not everyone agrees with this. But that is what the Scripture says and teaches. So if you dispute this, then you're trying to dispute God and what He says. There is no doubt that we have all sinned. There is no doubt that we are sick from the top of our heads to the sole of our feet, because that's what Scripture says. Our hands and our feet will not be able to do anything to help us out. I know a lot of people think they can do something for God, but they do not seem to understand it is not God that needs something. It is fallen, sinful, corrupt man that needs something, and God is the only one that can supply that need. The problem is that by nature, no man will know this. They will not know their need. They do not understand that they are nothing but a leper before God and should be crying, unclean, unclean, unclean. This is why man, if his iniquities are marked, will not stand, because they are themselves an abomination before God. The very one that they want to do something for, that is, the God of Scripture, the one they say they want to do something for, is the very one that needs to do something for them. But they are oblivious to this. They are oblivious to the fact that all they do is iniquity before God. It is just what Scripture says. You may be good before me or good before someone else, but God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Coming short of that glory is a capital offense, and God will not at all acquit the guilty. So much so that Scripture says the wages of sin is death. That is what we are owed by God. However, there is another side to this coin. There is one who, if he was pleased to do this for you, he did all that was needed so that you do not have to have your iniquities marked, even though your iniquities will not go unmarked. There is one who, because he purposed to do so, who would take those for whom he was pleased to do so, he would take their place. Since God Almighty will not at all acquit the guilty, He took their place. This was none other than Jesus Christ Himself. So how was it that He took my place if He did take my place? He became a man. He was made a curse. He was made sin. And He died. These are some of the things I want to point out about Jesus Christ. Not as an exhaustive list, but just to list some of the glorious things He has done. We are told that there is not enough books in the world that can contain everything about God or about Jesus Christ, who is God. John 21 and 25 we read, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So first, He became a man. Jesus Christ was sent to this earth being born of a virgin. He had to be a man because the price that had to be paid was that of man's disobedience to God. So Jesus Christ, who is God, was made flesh. God Almighty, who is creator of all things, came down and was made flesh. I mean, He really was a man. He had fingers and toes. He had arms and legs. He had eyes and ears. He had a mouth. Just think about it. When He exerted Himself, He would sweat. He had tears. He had the senses we have. He tasted things. He smelled things. He saw things. He heard things. And He felt things. When someone grabbed his arm or touched him, he felt it, just like you or I would. So when they did those things to him before he was put on the cross, he felt those things, the pain he endured. When they spat on his face, he felt that hit him in the face. When they plucked out his beard, it was painful. When they whipped him with lashes, the pain was no differently felt by him than it would have been felt by us, would it have been us there. He had to be a man because it was man that offended God. So a man had to pay for those sins. So God was made flesh. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is man. Both at the same time. He is the God-man. How do you explain that? You don't. You just believe it if you're one of his. He was made flesh and he walked on this earth. He performed miracles by healing people. The same man performed miracles like this, to cause the blind to see, cause the deaf to hear, cause the lame to walk, cleanse the lepers, cause the dead to come to life. He was the one that fed people when they were hungry, and he healed people of their infirmities. He was made flesh. Now, if you would, let's turn to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 3 in verses 10 through 14. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus Christ was under the law of God. He had to be because God's law had to be fulfilled. And we just read where God tells us that no man will be justified by the law. It is evident, it says. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. So he was made a curse for us, as we read. But Jesus Christ performed the law of God perfectly. He died the just for the unjust. The scripture teaches that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law every jot and tittle. But he was to hang on that tree, being made a curse for us. He felt the shame, being placed on that cross in a naked shame before men. The very God who has been offended by man was placed before men in open shame on that tree. Jesus Christ was made under the law because it goes on to tell us this in Galatians. Galatians 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. All those Old Testament sacrifices had to be spotless. They could not be lame or halt or anything like that. The sacrifices they performed, and these, pointing to Jesus Christ, had to be spotless. Jesus Christ was that spotless Lamb of God. God did not have to do this. God Almighty is all powerful. He has all power with no power left over for anyone else. I know there are some in this world who think they have power, but they are in the hand of God and He will determine where they go and how long they will go. All men are under His absolute sovereign control. But He was pleased to show grace and mercy to some. He did this in the face of Jesus Christ by first being made flesh. He was then made a curse. Being under the law, He, that is Jesus Christ, fulfilled the law as a man. Yet we know this about Him. He was made sin for us. So next, He was made sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 we read, "For He, that is God, hath made Him, that is Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." So in open shame He hung there on that tree, being beaten and tortured at the hands of evil men. I'm talking about mankind. Mankind which He came into this world to save. He was made something He knew nothing of. It says He knew no sin. We are told that God cannot behold iniquity, or that is sin. Habakkuk 1, verses 12 and 13 we read, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he." Yet He was made sin. He was made what you and I are, if you are in Him. He was made sin for you, if you are in Him. This is exactly what this word says. How was He made sin? The same way the water was made wine. The first miracle that our Lord performed was the Cana of Galilee miracle of making the water wine at the wedding feast celebration. He was made something that He was not. He was not made a sinner. He was made sin. He was not up on the cross sinning, but He knew the guilt and the shame of it. The fact that He was made sin meant the Father had to turn His back on Him. He cried. This is Jesus Christ crying on the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Because He was made what I am by nature, God had to forsake God. I can't explain that. This is the grace of God I am here to tell you about. God loved His people to the extent of coming down and being made flesh and then being made a curse and sin for us so that we do not have to die. So what happened to Him? He died. So next is the death of Christ. So let's turn to John 19. John 19 and verses 29 and 30. "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to His mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, It is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost." The scripture says in Ezekiel 18 and 20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." So since we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, then we must die unless If someone died in our stead, then I do not have to die. But it cannot just be anyone, because the sacrifice has to be spotless. Again, we have all sinned, so we cannot die for ourselves or for anyone else, for that matter. There had to be someone who was spotless, someone who could die and it satisfy a thrice holy God. Jesus Christ, it says, gave up the ghost, the only one that could have done this. He actually purposed to die and gave up the ghost. The whole reason for creation has now come to the point of glory. Glory in the Son for that which He came to do, that for which has been spoken of down through Scripture. That is that final moment when salvation is complete. It is finished. The ransom is paid in full. Jesus Christ, having died, He took our sins as far as the east is from the west. The two shall never meet. East, you go east, west, those two will never meet. Our sins, if you are in Christ and He died for you, those sins are gone, never to be seen by God again, if you are in Christ. What mercy, what grace to bring to a people who were the enemy of God. It is truly amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. This is the glory of God manifest in the flesh, for the world to see. It is right here in His Word for all to see. Can you see it? Now, back to our text, Psalm 130. So even though we know God will mark iniquity, we are brought to see that there is forgiveness of God. When He, that is God, begins to show us Jesus Christ and what He accomplished. I said accomplished. Jesus Christ was no failure. Whom He died for, He saved. That is good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, for all those who are sinners of the deepest dye. Knowing this great, gracious God will cause men to fear Him. Fear Him, knowing that it is He, that it is Jesus Christ the Lord who is the only righteousness of God. Fearing Him, knowing that if He were to mark my iniquity, I would be consumed. But it is a fear, a respectful fear that we have for Him. God Almighty loved us because He chose to love us. If you are in Him. If you are not in Him, then He never loved you because He did not purpose to love you. That is who God is. But those for whom He loved, He died for, to take their place, being made sin and a curse for them, dying the death that they should have died. It causes us to wait on Him, and looking for a word from Him in the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The child of God is eager to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We read in verse 7 of our text, there is mercy, and there is plenteous redemption with Him. Oh, if you can see the holiness of God and what it took to bring salvation down to men, you will begin to see who you are as it is in God's eyes and as you are born in Adam. You will begin to fear Him. You will find that sweet sound of the gospel in His mercy for His people in giving His life for the sheep. It is Jesus Christ who has done this very thing for us that we see here in this passage. There is one more thing that I want to mention. There's one more thing that He did. He arose. Christ is no longer dead. He arose from the grave. Those for whom he died rose from the grave with him. And if you would, turn with me to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verses 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you are in Jesus Christ the Lord, you are now seated at the right hand of God on high with him. Are your iniquities marked? I pray that God will open your eyes, will give you life, open your eyes to see this gospel. When he does this, when you see him, it will cause you to see who you are by nature. And you will fall down in the dust, bowing down to Jesus Christ the Lord, knowing that he is the only one that can supply your needs. I hope he does this for you today. I hope there's those out there that are listening that desire to hear this truth. Just a reminder, at 12 noon on WVVACW, we have a portion of one of our Sunday messages. Please tune in at that time if you can't be here. But if you can, come here, be with us on Sunday. We start at 10:30, and we're just past Little Beaver State Park, where you turn on Country Club Drive and then turn on Annabel Lane. Come hear Jesus Christ and him crucified proclaimed.